Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
A very warm welcome to this broadcast on behalf of Let the Bible Speak. We would like to thank you personally for joining with us, and we pray that the Word of God will be a rich blessing to you. And whatever your need is spiritually, that the Lord, through His Word and Eternal Spirit and the preaching of Christ and the everlasting Gospel, would meet your need. Thank you for joining with us, and may God richly bless us. Let's just bow briefly in a word of prayer. Father, we thank Thee once again for our blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, Thine only begotten and well-beloved Son. We rejoice in Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. We thank thee for that work at Calvary. We thank thee for the work of the cross. We thank thee for that finished work, the precious shed blood. We think of the sorrows and agony and pain and the terror and horror that was visited upon our blessed Saviour when he substituted himself for us. We thank thee that we can say he took my place and he died for me. We thank thee that upon dark Calvary he paid that supreme sacrifice and offered himself a sinless, perfect sacrifice for our sins. Our sins were laid upon him. There was that great legal transaction. For we thank thee it wasn't a moral transaction, for he had no sin of his own. But he made himself accountable and responsible for our sin. And he endured the wrath of God upon our sin for us. We thank thee that he suffered and he died according to the scriptures for our sins. He shed his crimson, ruby, royal blood and redeeming blood that we might be forgiven. And we thank thee, our Father, he finished the work. And we rejoice he's risen from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. There at thy right hand he ever lives to make intercession for us. We thank thee that he is a prince and a saviour, a one who is willing and able to save, a one who calls sinners to repentance and faith in him, one who is set forth as the only way to heaven, the only saviour of the world. We thank thee, O God, that in Christ alone there is salvation, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And therefore we pray, O God, thou wilt bless the preaching of the gospel, the means that thou hast ordained to save them that believe. Lift up the bloodstained banner of his cross. Call sinners by thy Spirit and through the preaching of thy word to repentance toward thee, our God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. To this end, bless this broadcast and those who listen. Encourage our hearts, we pray, and for those who are saved, may we rejoice in all that Christ hath done for our souls, and may we be ever thankful and share him with our fellow man. And for those who as yet know not Christ, we pray that they may be spoken to, that they may see their sin and their need of a Saviour, that they may look away from themselves and their church and their religion, and they may look to Christ alone, who finished the work for salvation. And may they come today and trust in him and believe in him to the saving of their soul. Bless and be with us now. We offer this our prayer with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. We're going to read from the Word of God in a familiar portion. It's John chapter 3, and we break in at the chapter at the verse 14. Let us all hear the word of the Lord. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless this brief but public reading from his own precious and infallible word. We're going to sing together a well-known gospel hymn. There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Saviour's love divine. Love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. Perhaps the most familiar chapter in all of Holy Scripture is John chapter 3. And for the most part, it is taken up with a conversation between Christ and a religious leader in Israel, a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. One commentator summarized the entire conversation like this: the conversation contains the world's greatest tragedy. In verse 1, for instance, we read of an individual called Nicodemus, a religious leader, a ruler in Israel. And yet he was blind to some of the greatest truths concerning the gospel. You see, Nicodemus, a religious leader and ruler in Israel, was totally in the dark as to God's way of salvation. And yet he was a leader. He was a ruler. He was a teacher. He was a Pharisee, responsible for the spiritual instruction of the entire nation. And yet he was in the dark. He was ignorant as to God's way of salvation. And that is true. The commentator was right when he said this conversation did literally contain the world's greatest tragedy. You see, he was the best kind of person, religiously a Pharisee. He was one who had education and culture, and literally all that religion, education and culture could produce. Yet he was devoid of the soul-saving truths of the gospel. He did not know his personal need to be saved. He did not even know how he could be saved. There's no doubt he had birth and breeding. He had certainly morality and manners and training. He had pedigree and position in Israel. But he did not have his sins forgiven. He did not have peace with God. Thus we learn in this conversation that man at his religious and man at his educational and cultural and moral best is still a sinner, unfit for God's heaven and in great need of the transforming power of God in true conversion. We have not only in this conversation the world's greatest tragedy, but we also have introduced to the world's greatest truth. Because our Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then in verse 7, "Ye must be born again." The world's greatest truth: ye must be born again. Although man is helpless and hopeless when it comes to saving his own soul, yet God in love reveals to us the greatest truth known to mankind: how a sinner can be prepared for heaven. Ye must be born again. There has to be a spiritual birth. There has to be a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in regenerating a dead soul and sinner, and quickening that sinner into newness of life, and bestowing upon that lost soul the gifts of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And while the conversation does contain the world's greatest tragedy and the world's greatest truth, I'm sure you will agree with me, it also contains the world's greatest text: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. There is no single statement in all of Holy Scripture that so aptly sums up the glorious gospel of God's saving grace in the person and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just 25 words, 113 letters. It only takes about 12 seconds for to read or to quote. Yet only eternity will reveal the millions who have come to know Christ as their Savior and being prepared for heaven through hearing and reading John 3 and verse 16. It is the world's greatest text. And as we consider it just now, I want you to think of this thought. There are five wonderful things in John 3 and 16. Five wonderful things in John 3 and verse 16. First of all, there is a wonderful love. Notice what it says in the text. For God so loved the world. And could I say to you, it takes a very special kind of love to love a world that has little or no time for its creator. It requires infinite compassion to love a world that is at present, from the fall of Adam to this present hour, in rebellion and defiance against its maker and creator. And yet the Bible tells me God so loved the world that despite our sin and our rebellion and the breaking of his commandments naturally and our lack of love for God himself, even though there's nothing good or worthy in you or in me that God could ever like or God could ever love, yet the Bible tells me, for God so loved the world. The psalmist summed up the entire condition of mankind, and that's you and me. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all, underline the word, all, gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none, underline that word, that doeth good. No, not one. Psalm 14, 2 and 3. And yet God loved the world of sinners lost, ruined by the fall, and salvation full at highest cost. He now offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love. 'Twas wondrous love. The love of God to me, for it sent my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. And friends, if you doubted whether God loved a world of sinners or not, then just look to the cross. Just look to the agony and sorrow that God put his Son through in order that we might be saved. And it is true that God is just, that God is holy, that God is righteous, and he will punish sin. We know that. But I want to tell you something. God is love. He's a God of infinite compassion. He's a God of love. John, the beloved apostle, wrote about his God and mine. And he said this, God is love. And it's not that we love God, but it's that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice to turn away divine wrath that our souls might be saved. And so there is in this text a wonderful love, for God so loved the world. I want you to think, secondly, that there's not only a wonderful love, but there's a wonderful gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, Christ was given to this world as God's love gift, so that you and I, who are sinners and rebels from God, might be saved from our sin, from eternal death and everlasting hell. Oh, that's love, my friend. God could have destroyed this world. God could have damned your soul and mine. But he's a God of infinite mercy and everlasting grace and compassion. He's benevolent and he's good. And he is just and true, we know that. But he gave the darling of his bosom. He gave his only begotten Son and the second person of the triune God, our Lord Jesus Christ, entered into the virgin's womb, was born as a man and dwelt amongst men, even though he was God, the creator of the ends of the earth. The creator became a man, and God was incarnate. The Word was made flesh, and God in the person of his Son became a true man in order that he might die for our sins at Calvary. He lived as a true man, a sinlessly perfect life. He gave himself to untold sorrow and agony at the place called Calvary. And God gave his Son over to the hands of cruel and wicked men. And after man had done their worst to his body, lifted up was he to die. And on the cross of Calvary, he was the substitute. He was the sacrifice, the sin bearer. And he was our surety there. And Christ suffered the just punishment for our sins, when he substituted himself, when he took our place, and God visited his wrath and anger and justice as it was met upon the body of God's dear Son, when he became accountable for all of the sin of all his believing people. He was given by the Father as a love gift to intense sufferings at the hands of cruel and wicked men, and then at the hand of God when he became accountable for our sin. He was given to the horrors and terrors of Calvary's cross when he took the sinner's place and paid the price for sin and shed his crimson ruby, royal and redeeming blood, that our sins might be forgiven and we would have peace with God. He finished the work that was needed to save your soul and mine. He offered to God a complete and sufficient sacrifice to put away our sin, and he shed his blood to turn away divine wrath, and listen to this, to extinguish forever the guilt of your sin and mine. What kind of love is this that gave itself for me? I am the guilty one. I go free. Oh, what kind of love is this that died in agony? He who hung upon the cross was crucified for me. Oh, is it nothing to you, sinner, that Christ died, Christ suffered, Christ shed his blood, Christ offered one great sacrifice forever to put away sin? Will you still trust in your church? Will you still rest on your good works? Will you insult and injure the blessed Son of God? Will you turn your back on his work and present to God your own work? Listen to me. There's a wonderful love here. And there's a wonderful gift, God's dear Son. Have you repented of your sin today? Have you received Christ into your heart? Have you believed on him to the saving of your soul? Then why not? Why have you not come? Why are you not saved? Oh, will you not come today and realize that God loves sinners and Christ died for sinners? There's not only a wonderful love and a wonderful gift, but you notice also in the text, and I like this, there's a wonderful welcome that whosoever believeth on him. Isn't that a remarkable verse? Whosoever, that means you. You see, God's salvation is for all types of sinners. It's for all kinds of persons. It's for Catholic and Protestant. It's for Jew and Gentile. It's for black and white. It's for religious and irreligious. It's for those who are walking on the clean side of the broad road and they're not saved. And for those that are walking on the dirty side of the broad road that leads to destruction and eternal ruin in hell. And I want to tell you that God's salvation is for you. If you will come today and repent of your sin and believe Christ died for your sins and receive him into your heart now as your own and personal Savior, he will not turn you away. He will receive you. What a welcome. Whosoever, that means you. It's for the wildest of sinners. You remember the demoniac of Gadara in Mark chapter 5? This man was beyond human help and beyond personal hope. Society had given up on him. They had cast him into the tombs. They had chained him and bound him. They fed him. That's all they did. Kept physical life in his body. But that's all. And no man could tame him. No program of men, no schemes of men, nothing religious in heathendom or in Judaism could ever help this man. But this man came to Christ, and Christ saved him. And what a welcome there was for this demoniac of Gadara. It's for the worst of sinners. The Apostle Paul said Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And it's for the most wayward of sinners. Remember the prodigal son in the far country, is that you? And yet, you can be saved today. You can put your name into that text. That's what salvation is. Put your name into the text now. See how it reads. Let me put my name in. For God so loved Thomas Martin, that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Thomas Martin believeth on him, Thomas Martin shall not perish, but Thomas Martin shall have everlasting life. Now, will you do something today? Put your name into the text and believe it. And receive it and be saved from all your sin. There's not only here a wonderful love not only here a wonderful gift and a wonderful welcome, but there's also, fourthly, a wonderful rescue. Notice what it says, should not perish. Friends, hell is a real place. It burns even as we speak. I want to tell you, our sins deserve the lowest hell. Don't ever think for one moment that somehow your sins are clean. Your sins aren't as bad as some people make out. I want to tell you, sin is a terrible thing in the eyes of God. It is punishable by death, and we will die for our sins. The wages of sin is death. But it's punishable in hell because it's an attack of God's authority. He cannot countenance sin. Nothing that defile will ever enter heaven. And the Bible tells us that sin will be punished two ways. In hell, personally on the sinner, or vicariously by means of a substitute or sacrifice. And that's God's dear Son. I want to tell you, when we repent of our sin and we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work and precious shed blood, God forgives that sin on the ground, on the merit, the value and virtue of the blood and finished work. And He saves us from sin. That means He saves us from its consequences and its punishment and its penalty, because Christ died for it. And payment twice God will not demand. First at my surety's hand, and then again at mine. And then finally, there's a wonderful life, but have everlasting life. If you and I are trusting in Christ alone for salvation, then we shall live forevermore. We shall have eternal life. Wouldn't you want that? Not just physical, but spiritual and eternal life. Oh, there's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for you. Turn, sinner, from your sin. Trust the Savior now. Come to Him. And may God by His Spirit bring you savingly to Christ this very day. Let's bow in prayer. Father, bless Thy word to all of our hearts. We pray for the salvation of the lost, the bringing of sinners to Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.